welcome to a special Chicago football podcast. I'm Kevin Fishbane. A little bit of a different theme song this week. That's the theme to the show You're the Worst on FX, because our guest on this show is Desmond Borges, who plays Edgar on the awesome show You're the Worst. He's a Chicago native and a huge Bears fan. So we're going to talk about the TV show You're the Worst, which you should all be watching, and we are going to talk about his Chicago roots and some little Bears analysis and some Cubs stuff too. He had some Bears and Cubs predictions. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Again, you can follow all of our stuff, chicagofootball.com, at Bears_insider. I'm at K Fishbane. Got my executive producer here, Dan Mott, at Mott's Thoughts, and my associate producer, John Solly, at Jay Solly. A couple Bears items, some news and notes, some nuggets for y'all. Offensive line moves this week. Ted Larson and not that Manny Ramirez, a different Manny Ramirez, join.
I was so disappointed.
Chicago Ramirez. Twitter was having a lot of fun when the Bears signed former White Sox outfielder Manny Ramirez. And by the way, after this Manny Ramirez retires, Kenny Williams will probably try to sign him to play. With the White Sox. So now suddenly, John Solly, the Bears have, I tweeted this out, they probably have the best four guards in the league, because Kyle Long is a Pro Bowler, Matt Slauson's very good, and then you bring in two guys who started last year, and now people are wondering, well, do you have enough room for those guys? Because Ted Larson got paid a nice contract, like a contract to start. There's rumors that Matt Slauson can get traded. I've seen rumors that Matt Slauson can maybe move over to center like he did last year. Hronos Grasu might not be ready yet. Maybe Manny Ramirez starts at center. They're still tinkering, and I think the biggest takeaway here is that the Bears are going to start the best five guys on the offensive line, and there's going to be real legitimate competition, and I think Bears fans should be excited about that.
And that's what Ryan Pace and John Fox have talked about since they got here, is they want competition. And if that means that they're just churning the rest of the roster best past what we thought the starters may be, they're going to do that. If there's a guy out there they think that can improve their team even a little bit, they're going to sign that guy. So I'm interested to see throughout training camp how the offensive line shakes out. And I think it makes the exhibition games even a little bit more. That's something else to watch as the exhibition season progresses.
Oh, so I'm going to really focus on offensive guards during my preseason game tape.
Have fun with
studies.
That.
But speaking of preseason competitions that are a little easier to judge, we're going to have a really interesting return competition. Remember, we had Mark Mariani on last week. We talked about how in the preseason sometimes it's tough to get your returner reps. The Bears signed Omar Bolden, former Bronco kick returner, did some punt returning as well. He had a big punt return touchdown against the Colts last year. So you got Mariani, Deontay Thompson, we all saw what he was capable of, and Omar Bolden. They're all three going to get shots at returns. I could see the Bears bringing in a wide receiver too at some point in the draft, after the draft, they could play there. And the fun thing about a return competition is you could actually kind of, I mean, we laymen can judge it just by looking at the numbers, but it does bring a little bit of excitement to training camp.
It does, and I think if you're listening to this podcast, we go back and listen to the Mariani podcast about how tough it is to get reps during the preseason on that. So this is going to be a very interesting competition.
And it will not be anywhere nearly as interesting, though, as a punting competition, because
obviously
I love a good punter battle in camp, but we probably won't get that as long as the Bears have power down, which is a good thing. You want to have a good punter, but I love a good punter battle. We might have a long snapper battle this year in camp, because the Bears have two long snappers on the roster, so something to keep an eye on. So that's kind of what the Bears did this past week. I imagine they might add another one or two free agents at this point, but they are probably in full-on draft mode, and we will be too. But now we're going to shift gears and go to our interview for the week. You're the Worst is an amazingly funny, creative, unique show on FX, and one of the four stars of that show who plays Edgar is Desmond Borges, and he joins us on the Chicago Football Podcast. All right, Desmond, this is pretty fun for us because I am a huge You're the Worst fan, and you are a huge Bears fan, and of course you're a huge You're the Worst fan, and you're the first guest on this podcast from the Hollywood realm, so I hope you are honored, or as honored as we are, to have you on.
Oh, wait, I'm breaking the Hollywood cherry? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. We're hoping this is really going to open the door to the new genre here, so you would be, you're a pioneer.
There we go. You know, and I can just be the face for it. I'll just try to bring people in and let them know, you know, how much of a blast we had, you know, on the podcast, and hopefully that my influence will, you know, bring people in.
I appreciate how presumptuous you are about how fun this is going to be, but that's great. So you play, we're going to talk about You're the Worst. We're going to talk about the Bears and Chicago, and I know you're a big Cub fan too, correct?
Yes, I am. All right. I am. Born and raised in Chicago, so, you know.
There you go.
All Chicago teams.
We're taping this the morning after opening day when the Cubs won 9-0. And so I assume they could go 162-0, but when people are listening to this, that might be over. But for now, we can still think that they'll go 162-0.
Yeah, because I've been a Cubs fan for so long, you know, I felt like yesterday I was telling people, this is it, this is the year. But I've been saying that for like the past 30 years. So instead of 162-0, I'll give them 160-2. I think that's the mark we need to hit. 160 wins, 2 losses. What do you think about that?
I agree with that, because my worry if they go 162-0 is that they'll lose in the first round of the playoffs. But if you give them that 2 losses, if you humble them early, then I think they're prepared for the stretch run. You should call Joe Maddon and tell him your plan.
Well, yeah, I've been trying to get his number, but you know, no one over there at the Chicago Cubs organization will like actually give it to me. But I've got a few pointers that I think that I can slip in there that he can use. You know, I watched a lot of Angels in the Outfield when I was a kid, so I got a lot of my baseball influence from that.
You know how to flap your arms and the impact it can make.
I do. You never underestimate a good flapping.
So You're the Worst is on FXX. You guys just finished season 2. I was a little nervous because season 2 was, I think, supposed to start in July, and I was kind of counting down the days. Then y'all made me wait till September. I'm just being selfish here, but it was a really cool season. And I'd written in my notes, Desmond, how to describe Edgar's character, like, who is Edgar? And I realized, well, this is silly, you could probably just do it yourself. So how would you, like, in a nutshell, describe who Edgar is and what it's been like to play him the past 2 seasons?
Okay, well, I guess on paper, you know, Edgar is described as Jimmy's live-in butler and roommate, who went through 2 tours of Iraq, is a former drug dealer, and is back in the States trying to cope with PTSD. But I would describe Edgar as an overly romantic soul who's just kind of looking for his way to become quote-unquote normal, whatever that might be, you know, within this, like, ever-changing world, who loves to cook, loves Rachael Ray, and is trying to become less addicted to heroin.
I like that. That's, and you know, the thing too is on your Twitter profile, by the way, you should all follow Desmond at Desmond Borges, DesminBorges. You mentioned you're the best of the worst, because I almost called the character Jimmy the protagonist, but when we think of protagonists, we think of somebody that people root for, but you know, everyone is the worst, but we're all kind of rooting for all 4 of you, and Edgar kind of ends up being a little bit more lovable than the other characters. Is that fair?
It is. I label him as, he's kind of like the moral compass of the show. Although I'm really hoping that I move up from least worst, like this year. First 2 seasons, I'm definitely least worst. I'd like to be like second or third worst. You know, I don't think I'll ever get as bad as Lindsay. But if I could like leapfrog Jimmy or Gretchen, I'd be really happy about that.
So I was telling someone about the show. First of all, I can't imagine anybody doesn't watch You're the Worst, which I assume you experience, and you're kind of like, what? You don't watch You're the Worst? But I did meet somebody yesterday who didn't watch it, and I started to say romantic comedy, but I almost feel like that's an insult to You're the Worst, because it's so different than that. How much fun is it to be a part of like such a unique show?
Oh, I mean, it's amazing from the get-go. From the very first time that the 4 of us hung out with Steven, who's the creator, we just, like, we instantly clicked, you know? I mean, I come originally from the world of theater there in Chicago, and it's all about ensemble, and it's all about community, and then when, you know, you transition over to the world of film and television, you don't really get that luxury of building that community with people like you do in the theater world, and it instantly happened for us. And I think that really reflects, you know, the relationships that you see on screen. Because if it seems like we're having fun and we're having a great time, it's because we are having fun and we are having a great time. I mean, I can't even tell you the ridiculous, like, text message chain that goes on between the four of us all year long, you know. And it's really nice to kind of have a family, you know, an artistic family outside of your family, and to be kind of flipping the script on romantic comedy at the same time. Because while we know it's a very unique thing that we're doing, we definitely don't take it for granted. You know, FX really gives us an amazing playground to just kind of do whatever we want and push the envelope as far as we can push it, and, you know, try to develop these relationships and, you know, hopefully, you know, affect the audience as much as we possibly can.
And you mentioned pushing the envelope, and your character, as you talked about, deals with some PTSD, and then Gretchen's character this past season dealt with depression, and that was just amazing acting. I mean, it was so many powerful scenes in season two. What's it like to kind of balance some of the ridiculous sexual humor that you guys have on the show with some real serious things that I think some shows try to do, and you guys find a good way of balancing it all out?
Yeah, that's just a testament to how brilliant Steven and his writers are in that room. I mean, we're always game to play and we're ready to go. And, you know, as the actors involved in the scene, having that sort of balance between, you know, sort of like the high energy humor and the lowbrow humor, and then like the seriousness of the PTSD and the clinical depression, it's really great for us because we never feel like we're really going over the top in any sort of direction. But it really is a testament just to how brilliant and tight and interconnected the world is that Steven and the writers put together. Because we have, you know, in this past season, like, we have, you know, the recurring jokes that are happening, like my recurring joke of I didn't know it was a school, which is probably like one of the funniest but darkest things that I've ever had to play, you know, momentarily throughout the season. Because if you think about it, like, basically, did Edgar blow up a school with children in it? And if he did, why are we kind of making a joke about it? But it's all within that world, it's all within that scope that Steven's created, and we're able to get away with it because we're not really making fun of it, we're just highlighting the ridiculousness of it through Edgar's lens.
And Edgar had a big season too. Edgar got a girlfriend in season two.
Yeah.
So that was pretty exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, I mean, the guy, you know, went into combat, you know, when he was like 19 years old. They went through two tours. So you figure like the last time he probably had a girlfriend was his last year in high school. And now he's in his early 30s, and, you know, I don't think anything could be more exciting and terrifying all at the same time. And I don't know if you know this, but originally Dorothy and Edgar were supposed to break up in the final episode of season two. Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen it. Yeah, and then right around episode 10, Steven went back with the writers and they switched things around because he was loving what was happening between Colette and I, Colette Wolfe, who plays Dorothy. And I'm so happy because, you know, I mean, it's nice to know that going into season three, we're still going to be able to build upon this relationship that is really, you know, just making leaps and strides to, you know, Edgar's, like I said, normalcy, you know, and his happiness. Although, you know, I mean, I think at some point, statistically speaking, when you're dealing with PTSD, you have, you know, great long stretches of like really, you know, really being on an upward trajectory, and then something makes you fall. And I have no idea if I'm going to fall this year, but I think I know that I'd definitely like to explore that. And if it happens to be within the relationship, I think that would be a really awesome thing to go through with Colette.
And we will talk some Chicago and Bears soon, but I'm going to continue doing some self-serving here and talk about You're the Worst because it's such a great show. You mentioned season three, obviously way early on, but do you have an idea about some, have you heard about some of the things that are going to be coming for season three that we should get excited about?
No, not at all. It's like They might as well be in like the Situation Room with Barack Obama. Stephen won't tell us anything, man. I just saw him this past weekend, and I'm trying to get as much out of him as I possibly can. And he's so tight-lipped. They're actually still writing the show. I do know this. I know that they're currently writing episode 2 right now, this week, as we speak.
Breaking news on the Chicago Football Podcast that episode 2 being written. You just broke news on our podcast.
Tweet it out. I do know that we're going to be continuing just after where season 2 left off, so there's not going to be much of a time jump or time lapse, if any at all. And, we're just going to kind of keep flowing from there and pick up where we left off from there. I've been saying a lot in interviews that I thought it'd be really cool if Edgar somehow got into like a space club where he got to simulate being in space, just because I've always wanted to be in like one of those, zero gravity modules and eat all the cool food. So I figured if I started saying that in interviews that maybe Steven would write that in, but I'm crossing my fingers. I can't promise that that'll happen.
Well, if it's, you just said it on this podcast, and I assume this is going to go viral, so he's going to have no choice after this.
There it is.
So you are also going to be in an upcoming off-Broadway play called Crude, and when I heard about this, I thought it was kind of funny because when I describe You're the Worst, I usually use the word crude as one of the adjectives, and I use it in a completely endearing way because I love the show, but the humor can be crude. So tell us a little bit about this upcoming play.
Yeah, it's a dark comedy about these four people. Myself and Nick Tortola from Younger play these. We do commercials for a big oil company in Texas, and kind of like with the Valdez spill and the Macondo blowout. Like, basically, a rig blows up and completely destroys our homeland. Right there from Galveston going up into Shreveport. And his girlfriend in the play is a wetland preservationist. So there's kind of the conflict that happens. And we, as the commercial makers, are trying to spin the largest oil spill in Texan history and kind of in U.S. history on how to, spin it and make it seem like it's the natural state of things and everything will kind of be back to normal. So that's kind of like the long and short of it. But, considering what the political landscape is like these days, I jumped at the opportunity to kind of delve into this atmosphere and to speak on this specifically at this time. And it's cool because the playwright Jordan Jaffe is from Houston, Texas. I lived a little bit there when I was younger. I went to high school in Houston, so it's kind of me being able to get to like some part of my Houston roots, at the same time. And it's cool because it's a completely different character than Edgar is. So it's always nice to kind of take a departure from him. Hopefully I'll learn a little bit from this character, Aaron, and maybe be able to balance out and implement some of his crudeness into Edgar this season.
Very, very cool. And John Fox, by the way, would appreciate your versatility, Desmond,
in
the theater world.
Like Danny Trevathan, right?
Exactly. So, Desmond, you're a big Bears fan. So before we talk Bears, let's talk about these Chicago roots where you said you kind of got some of that theater in. When were you in Chicago? Yeah. Whereabouts in Chicago? And kind of what's been the impact of being around here on your acting life?
Yeah, well, I was born actually at St. Francis Hospital in Evanston and grew up in Logan Square off Fullerton and Sawyer. It's a three-story graystone building that my great-grandmother owns. So, like, she was on the first floor, and then I had aunts and uncles and cousins and my grandmother all on subsequent floors. My mom and dad and I lived on the second floor. So it was a hodgepodge of, Italian, Greeks, and Puerto Ricans all in one graystone, which was pretty crazy. And, this was back in the early 80s when Logan Square wasn't nearly as hip and cool and popular as it is now. I used to go to sleep hearing, gunshots right around the corner. And then I'd wake up to the smell of fresh donuts and taffy apples, because back in the day, right across the alley from us was a bakery. and my great-grandmother used to make food for the overnight bakers, and she would bargain, you know, she would barter with them. She'd give them, like, steak and rice and beans, and they would give her, like, fresh donuts and taffy apples for people who came by when she would just hang out at home and have coffee and donuts and stuff for visitors. So that's kind of what it was like, you know, as a kid, you know. And then, like I said, I went to Houston, Texas for a little while in my early teens. And then I came back to Chicago because I went to the theater school at DePaul University, which was cool because I was actually baptized at St. Vincent de Paul. So there was like a full circle thing happening there. And then after I graduated, I got into the theater scene. I started working with my theater company, Teatro Vista, there in Chicago, and with Victory Gardens and the Goodman and Steppenwolf, and just kind of developed my roots from there. And then I did this one amazing play called The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity, which was about this underdog Puerto Rican wrestler from the Bronx dealing with issues like racism, capitalism, and stereotyping through the world of WWE-style professional wrestling, and that turned out to be a huge hit. We were actually, like, on the ledger of the Chicago Tribune the day after we opened, which was kind of like a really, really wild thing. And shortly after that, we moved off Broadway to New York, and then I moved to New York with it. Now I've been in New York, you know, for 6 years. But I go back all the time. I've got, you know, friends and family there, and the food scene is ridiculous. Every time I go back, there's, like, 12 new restaurants that I have to go try. And, of course, I got to try to sneak in a game, see my Bears, my Cubs, and my Blackhawks, or my Bulls, you know, while I'm there, because I miss it so much. But I try to get there in the fall if I can. Fall in Chicago is by far my favorite.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. And I will tell you, you just got a new listener to this podcast because my mom teaches at DePaul, and she's going to be very excited that I had a DePaul graduate on the podcast. So she'll be into it.
What does she teach at DePaul?
She teaches English there. So some writing classes, yeah. So when you talk about your love for the Bears, what are some of your kind of early Bears memories growing up in Chicago?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I mean, I guess I was 2 years old when the 85 Bears happened, and I know I probably shouldn't have a memory of that Super Bowl, but I have a very vivid memory of my uncles and my dad going batshit crazy over the Bears winning the Super Bowl that year. So, you know, I mean, Ditka is huge for me. You know, Walter Payton, Jim McMahon. I recently watched the 30 for 30 on the Bears, and I cried like a baby. Yeah. I had no idea that half of that stuff was going on with them. And it was just like reliving a part of my life that I only remember through visual memory and not like tangible memory. So I kind of got to relive that moment all over again. And it was just like, they do such a great job with the 30 for 30 thing. But like I said, I cried like a baby almost throughout the entire thing just because I was so happy to be reliving it and then so sad by, you know, the actual occurrences that I had no idea were actually happening with and around that team at that time. And then, you know, kind of what's been happening in subsequent years, even though, you know, in the past like 5 to 8 years, we've gotten a much better idea of CTE and the effects of CTE, you know, for players after, you know, long after their career. Other things, you know, the Soldier Field, you know, actually, I think one of the moments I remember most is I flew into Chicago because a good buddy of mine had tickets that were crazy close. And I was like, I've never been this close before. I got to do it. And it was the game where the Bears were playing the Seahawks and Johnny Knox got hit and broke his vertebrae.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was like, it was the closest I have ever been to the field, and I remember watching that play, and I was huge. I loved Johnny Knox. He was so explosive. To have him and Devin Hester on the team at the same time was like, it was amazing. You know, as a fan, you know, it was amazing to watch them both play together, and then all of a sudden that moment happened, and it was pretty devastating. Other than that, you know, I don't know. It feels like a lot of, you know, my favorite Bears memories all kind of like collide together at this point. Because now I'm just super excited that for the first time we have a coach, you know, who isn't a new coach that has a winning history. I love what Ryan Pace is doing. I love how they're attacking free agency. So far last year in the draft, they did well. I think this year with 9 picks in the draft, we're going to have, you know, hopefully a plentiful amount of support coming on to the team. And then the move that they've made in the offseason thus far, while it hasn't been like big flashy splashes or anything, I think we've seriously upgraded so far on the defensive line, and we're, you know, with the signing of Larson not too long ago and Ramirez, I mean, we're bolstering up the offensive line, hopefully to, you know, protect Jay and you know, just anything better than 6-10. I don't think we can get any worse than that this year.
That would be pretty bad if they did. That'd be pretty bad if they find a way. But I'm glad that you got your Bears analysis, because people who listen to this podcast don't really care about my analysis anymore. They have to hear it every week. So I bring you on to give me the analysis. So Desmond, who, you know, where do you want them to go in the draft? What direction do you want them to go?
You know, I think we can hold off on the first pick with a quarterback. I think we got to go with someone versatile on the line. I know that that cat out of Oregon, what's his name?
DeForest Buckner.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he's there, because what, we have the 11th pick, right? I'm scared with the Giants having the pick right before us, because we know how they love to stock up their defensive line, you know, that he might be taken. But I don't know. I mean, just from what I've seen on tape and kind of what I've been watching, you know, on ESPN and listening on podcasts, I kind of think that he's the way to go. And I think he'll fit, you know, really swell into Vic's defensive, you know, defensive scheme. But I think we go defense. And if we don't go there, I mean, Louisville's what's his name? Rankins?
Mm-hmm. Sheldon Rankins.
Sheldon. Yep. Sheldon Rankins. Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of a way to go too. But the defense has been so lackluster lately, and like that's what we're known for, right? So let's get back to that. Jay probably had his most productive year as a Bear last year. If we can just kind of keep going from there. I know we don't have, you know, the black unicorn anymore, but Zach Miller was catching some pretty amazing balls last year, and Kevin White will be healthy now, right? So hopefully the offense will kind of keep on trucking along the same way that it was. And if, you know, the defense gets back into like a top 15 defense, I think the sky's the limit, you know, and specifically there, because, I mean, Detroit's going to be, we don't know what Detroit's going to be. Minnesota's got a good team, and you always kind of have to worry about the Packers as long as they have Aaron Rodgers. But as long as we split within the division and, you know, kind of keep trucking forward, hopefully pull out some close wins and, you know, get a playoff berth.
We're going to do a few more questions here with Desmond Borges of You're the Worst, Chicago native and big Bears fan. And Desmond, I have to ask you, we actually asked pretty much all of our guests this, but what do you think about Jay Cutler?
I like Jay Cutler. You know, I like the gun. I like the gunslinging mentality. I think he's tough no matter what anybody says about what happened in that NFC Championship game. I don't think he just pulled out to pout. I think his face is his face, man. Like, those are the faces that he makes. And just because there's cameras on him all the time, now we have the availability and opportunity to kind of, you know, tear down every single pouty face that he makes. But that's just the faces that the guy makes. I mean, he's, you know, under Fox, and I know we don't have Gase anymore, but I mean, he cut down his turnover ratio by what? By like almost 35-40%, right? From the year before?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really all you can ask for. And he's still got a great arm, and he's the team, as far as my knowledge goes, and I'm very far away from the locker room, but it seems like the locker room supports Jay Cutler and that they all get along really well and that he is definitely one of the leaders on the team. So as long as they're gelling and they still feel like he can lead them, I like him, you know. And I guess my question is, if not Jay Cutler, then who else would be our quarterback?
Right. But more importantly, and we also ask our listeners this, what do you think of his hair?
Why, did he do something different with his hair now? What?
No, I'm just, and I guess maybe you don't see this, but I'm always amazed at how perfect his hair is, especially because when he first came out of college, it was a little frumpy, and then I guess Kristen had a big impact on it, and he'll pull his helmet off and kind of do one little fich with his hands. I don't know what that sound effect I just did was, but you understand. And then suddenly his hair is majestic.
You know, I mean, maybe he's just got those good hair genes, or maybe product choice has elevated over the years. I will say this. There was one time I was doing this a play a few summers ago with Jennifer Westfeldt when she was still with John Hamm. And he and I were, he's a big Cardinals fan, and I'm a Cubs fan, and it was in the summer, so we were watching the Cubs and the Cardinals together, and they were beating the hell out of us. And someone came over asking for a picture, and he took his hat off, and he had the same thing. Like, he's been wearing a hat all day, and he just runs his fingers through his hair, and, like, it's the best-looking hair I've ever seen in my life, you know? And, I don't know, maybe Jade's got the same thing. Maybe him and John Hamm are just using the same product that's a specialty product and none of us know about it.
You know, one of our goals on this podcast, of course, one of our goals was to get you on, and we're so thrilled. But another goal, an equal weighted goal, is getting Jay Cutler to sit down with me for the podcast for like 10 minutes of, you know, I think I can only get 10 minutes out of him. So if you ever get a chance to talk to Jay, our last guest last week, Mark Mariani, said he put in a good word. So now I have to ask every guest that you have, if you ever come across Jay, you got to, you know, you got to put in a good word for us.
Done. But if with Jay on, I want to be on the line too, just to kind of be like his hype man, you know, like I'll be the Flavor Flav to Jay Cutler.
Perfect.
You know, just to kind of throw it in there. I mean, you know, I'll be respectful. I'll let you have, you know, maybe we can squeeze 12 minutes out of him. We'll see. He's got a kid now, you know, so you never really know. But I like to be there too, just to kind of hype it up a little bit, either before or after.
Jay could always use a hype man. I can tell you that. You know, he could use that around Chicago still. All right, some rapid fire for you, Dez. Which bear would you like to have a beer with?
Oh, that's a tough question. You know what? I'll go Mike Singletary. I would like to just sit down, have a drink with that guy, and just talk to him all day.
I know he's kind of tough,
but I think it would be a really awesome beer.
I think the Bears just traded the answer to this question, which is, which bear do you think would be the best actor? Probably would have been Martellus Bennett. But other Bears, current former, who do you think could hack it in your world?
Maybe Jake Long. I think that guy's funny. Every time Kyle Long. Yes, Jake's
yes.
brother, right?
Yeah, Kyle's a friend of the program, so I just want to he understands.
Kyle, my bad, man. It's rapid fire. I got nervous.
No, I understand. But he would certainly be pretty good for that too. Now, I want to wrap up with this. So, I know it's a little kind of different because of the way You're the Worst is framed and the type of character Edgar is. But when you're on like every TV show there is and everything, and then when I could never get you on my podcast, will you start throwing some Chicago references in some of your shows? Do you already try to every once in a while throw one? And I know there's some guys who will throw them in, but how do you factor in Chicago that way?
Well, we actually did, I think it was episode 4 this past year, where I take Lindsay to a wing place to go watch football.
Yes, yes.
She uses it to actually pick up guys. I asked specifically for a navy blue and orange jersey, and it ended up being number 13. Steven chose 13 because it's unlucky, and I took it as Johnny Knox.
There you
actually.
Go.
Since he was wearing number 13. So, you know, I try as hard as I can. Sometimes, you know, when some of the improvised lines, I'll try to throw some Chicagoisms in there. Maybe throw out a little Lumonati's or something, just to see if I can get them a little action, or Chicago Dog or something like that. Or, you know, I always try to get my impression of Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey in I can. Yeah, just because I miss that guy, and I definitely miss seeing Will Ferrell, you know, do him. So I think that's my main goal, is me doing Will Ferrell as Harry Carey. If I could get that in, then I think I've succeeded.
Are you going to do it for us?
Oh, there you go. Cubs win. Cubs win. I'll have a hot dog. There you go.
I like it. Cubs win. And 160-2 is the record for this year.
100. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to be too presumptuous. Right. You know, I mean, we're already dealing with the Golden State Warriors, you know, possibly going 73-9. I don't want to jinx this in any way.
Right. And so then by that standard, I got to end with this. Do the Bears go 14-2 this year, Desmond?
I think the Bears go 12-4.
12-4. All right. You heard it here first.
12-4.
More breaking news. You're breaking so much news, and now you're telling us they're going to go 12-4. We appreciate that. And we appreciate you coming on the podcast. Desmond, tell our listeners too, Crude, when does it come out on Off-Broadway?
Yeah, Crude. We open it's a limited engagement. We open May 4th. We close May 21st. We have a week of previews before that, I think April 26th to May 4th. So if you're in the New York area, you know, come check it out. And You're the Worst will be back late this summer, early fall. I don't know. FX hasn't, you know, released the date yet. I actually have no idea when that is. But in the meantime, season two will be coming out on Hulu pretty soon. For those of you who haven't seen it and want to catch up, you can check it out there, or always purchase the season on Amazon Prime or iTunes.
Awesome. And, of course, follow Desmond on Twitter. And we look forward to You're the Worst. And we also look forward to more of your Bears analysis. And thank you so much again for coming on the Chicago Football Podcast.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, man. I've been listening to you guys for quite a while, and I'm a huge fan. And hopefully we can do this again really soon.
We will when we get Jay Cutler on.
Yeah, we'll do that, and hopefully I'll be in Chicago sometime in the fall, you know, to go check out a game, and if we could schedule something around then, I'd love to come in, meet you guys, and hang out in the studio for a bit.
We'll do it, and as we said, we're kind of going Hollywood here, and you've opened the door for us, Desmond, so thanks again for joining us.
For sure. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Big thanks again. Can't thank him enough. Desmond Borges coming on. We are officially Hollywood guys. Chicago Football Podcast has entered the Hollywood world. And that was a lot of fun because I think there's a lot of people within pop culture that talk about connections to Chicago, great theater scene that Desmond was clearly a part of. But he knows his Bears. That was maybe one of my fun takeaways. And John, I know you are a fan of the TV show as well. But he brought some Bears analysis. We might have to have him on again just to get his takes on the Bears.
That was really, really impressive. Like, and I guess, you know, it's probably unfair to have low expectations because someone is, you know, quote, just an actor.
Well,
I know he's really busy, but man, like, he, you know, he's going into offensive line depth.
Oh yeah.
Very, very impressive.
So it's a really fun show. I can't say that enough. You're the Worst. And it was cool to hear him describe how much fun they have. You can kind of tell, and if you follow Desmond on Twitter, you know, they post lots of Instagrams, the whole crew together there. And I'm so bummed. I totally remember that scene he was talking about where they went to the bar and, you know, he picked out the blue and orange jersey, because I remember watching with my roommate. And I was like, see, he's a Bears fan. That's the little Bears. Because you see different people. Actually, one of my favorite subtle Chicago Hollywood connections. Were you guys 24 fans at all?
Yes.
Okay. So you know Tony Almeida, Chicago guy. He always had the Chicago Cubs coffee mug in the show. Carlos Bernard, the actor. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast. I don't know if he's a Bears fan.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, really, look, the possibilities are endless now. I mean, we got to go get everyone from every Chicago connection from Hollywood. Vince Vaughn, he was the narrator of the 30 for 30. John, you got him on your cell phone at all? Can you just text him?
Not Vince, no.
Well, Desmond was awesome and couldn't have asked for a better person to be our first guest in that realm. And we're trying to give you some different guests going forward. But it was cool to hear his story of growing up in Chicago, too. And that Logan Square 3-flat they talked about with his family. And you know,
that's a wacky sitcom in and of itself.
Yeah,
the
way for sure.
You described that. I would watch that show.
That was really interesting. And, you know, obviously the impact, the theater scene in Chicago is so cool. It's such a great theater scene. And I mean, again, a little biased. I like DePaul a lot, but they have a fantastic theater program. And it's always fun to see folks come through the Chicago pipeline and then make it big like he is. And it's also cool, I think, to see somebody who is on a TV show now but still go back to his theater roots, and he's going to be in an off-Broadway play. So, again, big thank you to Desmond. Follow him on Twitter. Watch the show You're the Worst, and hopefully we'll have him on again. We might have to fight a little bit about that Cutler interview. I mean, if I can get Cutler, I don't know if I'm giving anybody else any questions.
But I kind of like the idea of a Cutler hype man.
I do like, yeah. He can be kind of rooting him on in the background. Although I guess it's kind of selfish. I am there at all of Cutler's press conferences. But, you know, if we get Jay on, I mean, we're going off the cuff. We're going full off the cuff.
Obviously.
And the interview will last about 30 seconds and he'll walk away.
one question. He makes a drive out to our studio. We get one question with him.
But fun time. And got the Cubs talk there, too. He loves the Cubs. And they are 1-0 as of the taping of this podcast. And I'm sure the next, if they lose at some point, everyone's going to freak out.
That's not going to happen.
People were already freaking out about Jake Arrieta's pitch count last night. It was the first game of the season. I was watching the White Sox too, and people were upset with the way Robin handled the bullpen. I mean, it's begun. But just be happy you have something other to watch than the Bulls, the way they've been playing. And I don't know how long the Blackhawks are going to be in it. But soon we get to talk Bears. We have a few weeks, 3 weeks until the draft. So we're going to really focus the next couple shows on draft prospects. You know, Tom Fornelli was on a couple weeks ago. Go back and listen to that as well to get to his college insight. But we'll talk to folks who really understand the draft and talk about who the Bears should pick. Some breakdowns that are on ChicagoFootball.com and ProFootballWeekly.com: DeForest Buckner, Ronnie Stanley. I watched a lot of Ronnie Stanley tape, and he is so technically sound in what he does. It's very impressive. And then coming up next week, Ezekiel Elliott, actually be at the end of this week, and then A'shaun Robinson, who I think is kind of become...
He's my guy.
He is John's guy. He is back as kind of the sexy pick for the Bears at 11. I'll do a little kind of film study on him coming up, and we'll do some more players. Vernon Hargreaves we'll do at some point.
Leonard, he's my other guy.
He's your other guy. Leonard Floyd, Shaq Lawson, other Bears targets, so we can get everyone broken down before the big day on April 28th. So that'll do it for this episode of the Chicago Football Podcast. Again, huge thank you to Desmond Borges of You're the Worst for joining us, my executive producer Dan Mott, my associate producer John Solly. I am Kevin Fishbane. Thanks again. Check out all our stuff at ChicagoFootball.com, and let's talk some draft next week.